10, 5, and 2. Seems like the normal thing. Okay. Well, let's see. I guess it's story time. I am Tim. I am a sex, fantasy, intrigue, and validation addict. Let's start from the very beginning, I guess. I come from a divorced family from a young age. I grew up with my mom, who I had an amazing relationship with. My father, who it was a shaky one, and I, to a point where I only saw him, I didn't see him for about 10 years at one point. Our relationship has gotten better, but a good chunk of it was religious based. He's an Irish Catholic, born again Christian. I am an insane atheist. So, which I will get into a little later on in this share. As a kid, I was loud, I always joked, I wanted the attention, and I got it. Think of your old family photos, where everyone's sitting there saying, "Geez, I was the one making a face, I was the one doing a pose." I was the one, when you looked at the photo, you saw me first. That hasn't changed much as I got older, at all. In fact, probably got worse. Growing up, or now, basically my nickname was Chandler for a long time from friends, because that's me. I use humor to hide darkness that I live in, pain, now the word shame because I'm here, that I was denied over, and all that, which is why I put my serious pants on, so I don't hide from anything during this year. So it'll be a little on the darker side. Okay, well, where my journey started, back in the mid-80s, and I'm only stating the date because it was a different time than, well, now. I was 16 years old when I started on the, I guess you can call it a journey, of being an entertainer, dancer at some of the most exclusive nightclubs in New York City. My job was to entertain, to pick the energy up, to get everyone aroused. I was on a stage, cage, platform. Hell, I did a pull, did a swing, depending on the club. And I loved it. As you can tell, I love the attention. This was just a different form of attention. This is where the sexual aspect really came into play. I'm 16, and I have every age group, every sex, just in awe of me. And I absorbed every bit of it. To the point when I would also get down and go amongst everyone, it got more intense. Because now they can touch me. Now they can talk to me. Now we're face to face. And just, I did. I couldn't get enough. I had a void that was so empty that even that would not fill it. But then there's a dark side to that. And I was considered a trophy for anyone in the clubs. Now, if someone wants to have sex, it's like, okay, how do I go about it? And who do I ask? It wasn't that for me. It was, who do I pick? Do I pick more than one? To say the least, I grew up fast. And it wasn't necessarily always pretty. I did that for 10 years, for 5 years. And when I finally escaped or left, I left primarily because I had a lot of friends die of AIDS, drugs, random other things, and it was time to go. I thought I got away scot-free. I didn't have any addiction. I had no STDs. Obviously, I'm sitting in this chair, so that was not the case. My 20s were basically wrapped around sex. Multiple partners at once, telling them exactly what they want to hear. So I would get the validation. I would get the physicalness that I require. I was open about it, that I wanted no relationship. So I was at least honest about it. One night stands left and right. And then I had a good friend of mine's girlfriend ask me to dance at a bachelorette party. Now that I think about it, it's a little weird that it was a friend of mine. never thought about that. And I did it. I borrowed a friend of mine's fireman's outfit, and, well, I did not put out the fire. Started it, more so. And I loved it. It checked every box that I desired. To say that it didn't get out of hand, I would be lying. Guys, we think we control or crazy on bachelor parties. We got nothing on the bachelorette parties. I'm honestly telling you now. And I did that for a while. And that led me to something that honestly I forgot about. And it came up with a connection that I randomly ran into. And I brought it up once in another meeting of mine. And I was an escort for a little over a year. And over time, that changed me. Whether it was shame or just really got down on myself. And I'm seeing my friends now starting relationships. We're in our 30s, it's time. So I was like, fuck it, done and diving in. I have a good career going, it's time to settle down. I can honestly say I've had 3 girlfriends my entire life. I'm 54, and I've had 3 of ones that I can sit down and say, I love, I wanna be with, I'm not, I was gonna say lying, obviously that's not quite the case. I loved having all 3 of them. In fact, I married 2 of them. who knew? And I wasn't going to talk about it, but I serious pants on. When the relationships were, especially the last 2, with my ex-wife and my current wife, the relationship was exactly how everyone wants their relationship. Great sex, the physicalness, the passion, everything that everyone wants and desires. And then we moved in together. And, oh, this is going to be hard. There's something that I'm still learning about that is called Madonna Whore Complex. And in a nutshell, what it is when you take your partner and you basically are putting her on a pedestal. You're looking at her not as a physical object, but someone that you need to cherish. And by doing that, the sexual energy not necessarily dies, but it definitely comes down substantially. So from what it was before we moved in to what it is now that we live together, night and day. Couldn't be any more different. That doesn't mean my sexual energy died. Hence the whore part. And I took advantage of the whore part. It's for my first wife, it was cheating with 2 women that I know. And I'm not proud of it, I'm shameful of it, but it happened. I got caught. The marriage never should have happened in the first place. I loved her. I was never in love with her. But because relationships were new to me, I thought it was the thing to do. So that didn't last. And then I met my current wife. Now, the whore part of this added a new dynamic. The validation and the sex already strong. Now fantasy came into play. Intrigue came into play. And where this came into play was obviously intimate relationships in person. But then it turned more into sensual ones in person. And then obviously a lot of it was online. If you can do it online, I probably did it. I spent too much money that I never want to look to see just how much. It affected my work. I was delayed on projects, and it probably hurt me in ways that I haven't learned yet. Thank you. And so it's, so I guess it's where it led me. That actually threw me off. wow. So it my wife caught me several times. For some reason, stayed with me. I don't know why. I would have kicked my ass out a long time ago. But she saw something in me. And the last time, she's like, there's something wrong. And she mentioned SAA. I found a therapist online through my wonderful bullshit insurance. And shockingly, I got a call. I was able to get in the next day. And he deals specifically with addictions. And the first thing he did was email me, and I don't know if you all have seen this, 40 questions? Guess so. Okay. Well, sorry for language. Fuck, my number was high. And I am definitely in the right spot. Now, the SLAW was hard for me at the beginning because when I think of anonymous programs, I think God, I think spiritual, I think higher power. I hear the word faith. None of that belongs to me, and it never will. That is a wall that will never crumble. So I had doubts, and I went to my first meeting, and being that I am not shy, I spoke. I was like the second person to speak. I didn't wait for the newcomer shit. nah. And I dropped the bomb. I was like, look, this is my issue. This whole higher power thing. What the hell? All about the spiritual part. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to grow. I don't know how this is going to work. The meeting ended. I had people come up to me and say, there is not one path to SLAA. Doesn't necessarily mean only steps. Find the way that works for you. I'm like, okay. Someone said about higher power. It's like, it doesn't have to be a God. It doesn't have to be spiritual. It could be Mother Nature. Someone actually said a doorknob. I'm afraid to find out what the hell that is. So I saw a hope. It was like, okay, down the road, maybe something will come through the higher power part. Until then, I'm going to dive in what I can, create my own path. And the way I did it was fellowship, meetings. I went to multiple meetings, found ones that I feel comfortable with. For some reason, you guys sold me. I don't know. and then top lines. So I also did an attempt at sponsorship. And I found a sponsor that had a lot of experience, felt comfortable with them. So I did the step one, I emailed it off to him, and I waited. And I never heard back. Tried calling, never picked up, never heard back. I got ghosted. Now, I'm assuming something happened to him, whether emotionally he broke down, I don't know. But I'd be lying if the little back of my head said, how fucked up am I that I scared off a sponsor that had been in the program for 20 damn years? Wow. So I'm focused on my strengths. I forgot about the steps. I figured down the road it'll come back. Friend of mine, a fellow, called me when I was at the grocery store, and he was like, we were talking, and he was like, I want to work on my top lines. I'm like, and he asked me, he's like, well, what are yours? I'm like, I have no idea. I've never thought about it. So after checking out, I went home, put the groceries away. I grabbed the Ben and Jerry's, sat at the table, because you got to have Ben and Jerry's when you do this shit. and I started writing. And my list was not very long. So I was like, okay, I'm not letting myself do this. So I Googled. And top lines for addicts. Believe it or not, there are thousands. And I went through, after about 100, I gave up. But I picked the ones that opened my mind to other options that I can do. And it was the smartest thing I was able to do. So I have this weapon now, a fellowship, meetings, top lines, and it has gotten me to 8 months off my bottom line. Now, I'd like to say it was easy. Okay, thank you. I'd like to say it was easy. It was not. They have these things called midlines. I like to call them my midline crisis because they kicked my ass. And I learned about an addiction that, and in my addiction, I don't want to speak for everyone, is flowing. It's not stable. It doesn't just stay this. It grows, it adapts. I look at it a little differently. It's more of like an eternal dance to me. It will always be there. I just have to come up with different dance moves or flow with it. And that actually empowers me because now, joke up? No. Now I look at it as I have the best dance partners. I have everyone in my meetings. And that is critical for me. And I love the fact that I have that. It has given me strength to finally reach out for a sponsor. And I got lucky and found one that I'm not only close with, I'm connected with, I can tell him anything, and my God, did I? And he's like, what the? Maybe that is why I scared the first one off. And he gives me the support, the advice, the direction that I needed. And he gave me the strength to those midline crisis moments to pick which ones are the hardest, the ones that are kicking my ass, and throw them down into my bottom lines. And I think it's important to look at that because you can do it. You are allowed. I don't know if it's in the book, but I haven't seen it. So you are allowed to do that. So I did. And I got the strength to block the apps, cut it out. And the weight on my shoulder is gone. That elephant fell off. And it feels amazing to not have that load. Now, this other thing that kind of, I don't know if you know the word, but it's called withdrawal. That showed up. And, well, I don't know if you guys know, but that sucks. And brutal. I mean, it's so, I've been riding the withdrawal train. And it's, I want to backtrack because I forgot one part. For me, meetings are what I get out of meetings, and what is the healing part for me is when I hear shares that are from the gut, the honesty, just letting it out. That lets me be free. That lets me finally open up and do the same. 2 minutes, okay. And because of that, I'm starting to see light, that in which I lived in darkness my whole life. And that crack of light, it will only expand as I grow through this. And I love that fact. So honesty for me is critical. I love when you get lost and your brain goes, what's next? And that's been a big part of it. I would like to say I reach out to people. I do, but I ask people, how are you doing? Great. Okay, cool. How am I doing? Oh, I'm fine. Meanwhile, I'm in shitville. So I need to focus and put it out there and start, okay, I need help. Or if someone asks me, yes, I need help. So that's something that I want to really start doing. I was going to get into something, but I probably, how much time do I have?
1 minute.
1 minute? Okay, fuck it. I can do it. One thing I can describe about Tim is I have two sides of me. I have Jekyll, and then I have Hyde. When Jekyll is in the driver's seat, I'm in a good spot. I'm peaceful. I'm going positive. I'm moving, and I love my life. Hyde's in here. I'm fucked. My void is drained, is never filled, and I'm screwed. Jekyll's been driving for a while. Hyde's in the backseat driving, so I've hit some bumps, but he's still in the driver's seat. And I need that. And I'm taking Jekyll as my higher power in the sense that I know the strength is from within. Now, obviously, I don't have enough for that because my ass wouldn't be here. But for some reason, giving it a name, giving it a purpose, now I can see it. I can see Jekyll right here. And it's connected to me. It's part of me. Compared to something that's not, that, okay, I'll wrap this up. Because I don't have the word faith, I can't just see it. I need to be part of it. And the fact that I have that now means I can grow through this program and develop and just, yeah. And I just love the fact that I finally got to a point I never thought I would. And that's it. Done.